Wisconsin has no shortage of fabulous vacation spots, but chances are if you've gone exploring in northeastern Wisconsin, you've maybe ventured over into what's known as the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. If you check out a map, it's pretty clear this chunk of land along Lake Superior is attached to northern Wisconsin, yet it belongs to Michigan and it has for over 100 years.
Our next guest is here to tell us why Wisconsin doesn't own the UP. James Johannet is a writer and blogger. He wrote about the history of Michigan's Upper Peninsula for Volume 1 in Eau Claire. James, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
So to investigate the fate of the Upper Peninsula, we have to start with Ohio and the Michigan Territory. Why do we start there?
Yeah, so it's weird that why Wisconsin doesn't have claim over the Upper Peninsula. It would start with Ohio, but it starts with a little bit of a turf war between Ohio and Michigan, centered around a little tract of land that includes the city of Toledo. Toledo is on Lake Erie, which collected up most of the trade for Ohio, which was a state at the time, whereas Michigan was only still a territory. And within a couple of years, Michigan decided that it was going to petition for statehood. But that's where things got a little bit more complicated.
Right. There was an argument over how this boundary line was drawn, and it led to a war between Michigan and Ohio?
Yeah. I mean, someone got stabbed, so I'll consider it a war. The way mapping worked back then was a little bit more difficult. They didn't exactly have satellite imaging, so they just sort of had to give it their best shot. And the map that most cartographers and political boundary drawers used was something called the John Mitchell map, which was made in 1787. But the map wasn't exactly correct. And when people were starting to make boundary lines between places like Michigan and Ohio and other places as they were creating state lines, they would generally create it as sort of an idea, which in this case was an east-west line drawn through the southerly bend of or extreme of Lake Michigan. And the problem with that is that that interpretation of the line, when compared with the map they were using, created a space that no one owned.
Right, and so tell us about the stabbing that happened, because this did become sort of a no man's land.
Yeah, within a couple of years after Michigan petitioned for statehood, Ohio, they used the interpretation of the actual map that someone had corrected ever since the John Mitchell map came out, and they used the initial interpretation of Ohio's limit between Ohio and Michigan, which, of course, made something called the Toledo Strip, which was this no man's land. But what happened after that was both sides started sending in militia between Ohio and Michigan into this 5 to 8 mile wide strip. And there was a man named Sir Benjamin Stickney, and his two sons, one Stickney and two Stickney.
And those are their real names, right?
Those are his real names. I've looked this up in a couple of sources out of actual Toledo, and he did name his sons one and two. So I don't know if Dr. Seuss sort of thought about that when that came around, but I think that may have been some of the inspiration. But he took him and his sons into the Toledo Strip to try and vote in an election in the Toledo Strip, in the side of Ohio. He was tried to be detained by a Michigan sheriff, and there was a stabbing. There was not a fatality, but there was still a stabbing.
Talking to James Johannet from Volume 1 and volume1.org. He is telling us how Michigan ended up with the Upper Peninsula, even though it's attached to Wisconsin. So, obviously, after the stabbing, there wasn't a huge shooting war. Tempers cooled. What happened to resolve that led the Upper Peninsula to get involved?
Well, everything sort of toned down from there pretty quickly. All the militias were pulled back out, and the federal government realized that this was going to get way out of hand really quickly unless they put a stop to it. So they got to make an arrangement between Michigan and Ohio where Michigan would give up that strip of land and it would go to Ohio. But then they would get what we, of course, call the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. At that time, it was still part of Wisconsin territory. But at that point, basically everything east of Michigan was Wisconsin territory, and they were just sort of starting to cordon off sections of it and give it to state after state as Wisconsin territory was starting to move towards statehood. But as things cooled down, they made the arrangement. Toledo was given over to Ohio. Michigan then took the Upper Peninsula, and it was only a couple more years until Wisconsin ratified its own statehood, of course, without the Upper Peninsula.
Did anyone from the Wisconsin Territory at the time ever say, hold on there, that land is pretty much attached to where we are. Maybe we should lay a claim to it.
Well, it didn't happen right away. Everyone thought the Upper Peninsula was kind of not worth all that much right away. They couldn't really tell what was the reason for anyone to fight over that at all. So Wisconsin really didn't give much of a fight for it. But after a while, they started to realize that there was so much iron and nickel ore and copper ore in the Upper Peninsula that it actually created more wealth than the gold rush did in California over a couple of years anyway.
I'm from Michigan originally, and I think the feeling was trading Toledo for the Upper Peninsula, no offense to Toledo, was a pretty good deal. Is there a sense in Wisconsin history, looking back, that, hey, what? Why didn't we get that? They didn't even have a bridge then.
It's a strange situation, because when you look at it, Wisconsin and Michigan have sort of different, slightly different cultures, not like that extremely different of cultures. But the UP has almost created its own sort of niche in terms of creating its own culture, distinctly different from both Wisconsin and Michigan. Mainland Michigan anyway. So I'm not sure that it really belongs with anyone.
And Rob and I were talking about this before, and you told me, Rob, that there was a secessionist movement in the UP.
For a while, they wanted to start a state called Superior, and this went on and off for a number of years, James. Did you encounter that in researching? This is well after the time period you covered.
Yeah, I did run into that. They tried to, and there's still been, people trying to separate off the UP and create the state of Superior, and there's actually been 20 to 30 different movements like that around the country. The Upper Peninsula is far from the only separatist state movement in the country.
Interesting. Well, here's one thing we can agree on. I think that the shape of Wisconsin is more pleasing without the UP. Yes?
I agree.
Okay.
I mean, I think it would be sort of more blobby with the UP.
All right. So for the mapping aesthetic sense, it makes sense. James, thanks a lot for sharing the story with us.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
That's James Jahanet. He's a writer and blogger. You can read his piece about the history of Michigan's Upper Peninsula at volume1.org.